Amen. Good morning. And happy Mother's Day. Anybody who's old enough to understand the lesson, who has an electronic device, use it as a Bible, but not as a game or communicator right now, okay? So we've been slipping a bit as a lot of folks are getting pulled into the electronic world, and it's easy to read an email during the lesson or send a text or 10 or what? Oh yeah. Or a game. So let's be sharp and focus ourselves on hearing God's word. This guy standing before you is nothing special except whatever God makes of him. But God's word is awesome. And you have a gift being given to you every Sunday of learning how to listen to a presentation of ideas. Does it make sense? Is it logical? Is it connected to what the word says? How does it pertain to my life? How can I learn from it and do something with it? There's nothing much electronic about this except the lights and the sound with my microphone. There it is. The rest of it is our mind and the word of God, just as the Lord gave it to us. And so this is an exciting time that we get to learn, to listen and think. God wants us to think. Think. Use your mind. Move your heart. Motivate yourself. Most of you have probably seen this one way or another, but now we finally got the print version. Just arrived this week. The Christian Chronicle and the front story is 50 years of Northern Exposure. The article about the 50th or the 50 years of the lectureships. And you all are in here. And pictures from the weekend in the Wasilla High School and the rest of it. So I invite you to read this. It's really encouraging. The rest of it's down there. It's encouraging. One of the best parts is a great big picture of Lauren smiling. What a joy to be together. What a joy to be together. Happy Mother's Day. And for the moms in the room, we want to honor you specially. God has put you in a special place. God has given you a special heart. God made us male and female in the beginning. And he made us in his image. God couldn't put all of his image in one. And so he made man and woman. And each of us has special attributes that are strengths of our Heavenly Father, of our wonderful God. So our ladies have special things in their heart, in their mind, in their talents that we don't have, guys, or we don't have very strongly or as well established as theirs. And we have things that our ladies don't have quite as strong or well established. So we enjoy this day as an honor to mothers in our lives. But to spread it out a little bit and make it an honor to women overall and to be appreciative of what God has done for us. Right after God created man and woman in the beginning, we know well the story that they sinned. They decided to try running their lives their way rather than God's way. It's the same sin we have today. I want to do it my way. I don't know that God's word is accurate. I don't know that God wants what's best for me. I don't know that God knows me well enough that I should obey him in everything. Besides, that's kind of boring or difficult or hard. It's a lot harder to disobey God than it is to obey him. Life is hard. Life is painful. But it wasn't intended on being that way. It wasn't supposed to be that way. I don't want to go too far down the road about this, but imagine if we hadn't sinned against God. I don't know what this world would be like. The Bible even praises struggle and suffering. I remember as a boy listening to my brothers or asking them about which of their classes, they're 4 and 6 years older than me. Which of their classes, which of their teachers they enjoyed, because I was going to be in the same high school they were going through. And they said, oh, my best teachers are my hardest teachers. And that didn't make any sense to me. I'd had hard teachers, and they weren't my favorites. And I listened to them as they said, no, I learned the most. The teacher that didn't care about how good my report was written and just gave me some grade, I didn't appreciate as much as the one who made me write it over again. The one who challenged me. I learned a lot in those years of that pain and difficulty has a way of shaping us and molding us and making us stronger. In fact, with God, all pain can do that. Now, all pain is not God's will, and I got to be careful how I say that. There's the pain of wronging someone else, bringing sin or crime or harm into somebody else's life. God does not will that on us. Somebody who harms or murders or hurts another person is violating God's will, not acting in accordance with it. But even those pains, even the pain of injustice, even the pain of wrong, even the pain that has no explanation, why does this hurt so much? Even those pains, when we walk in Christ, when we listen to our Heavenly Father, those pains will make us grow. If for nothing else than to long for the life after this one, because this one hurts. At its simplest, God will use that as a motivator for us to listen to Him, to make sure we have a heavenly life eternal with Him. But let's look back at Genesis chapter 3, if you'll join me. Genesis chapter 3 accounts what we call the fall, the mutual choice Eve and then Adam made to listen to the serpent and to disobey God. Their eyes were opened, the Bible says, when they did this. Their eyes were open and pain entered into them. Shame washed over their mind and their heart. The serpent is disciplined first. The serpent is cursed first. Starting in verse 12. Woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this." And then he brings his consequences on Satan and the animal represented by Satan. He does that powerfully. And he does that with an eye toward our salvation. He does that with an eye toward the solution to the crime. And then in verse 16, to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. So here comes upon us the things that we're still experiencing. Guys, you have to go to work in a literal sense. In a representative sense, you have to eat of the ground. The toil, the sweat, the difficulty, season after season, we hope that the weather patterns stay good. We hope that the crops don't fail. We hope that our agricultural system is sound enough and smart enough and careful enough that healthy food ends up in our grocery stores. Most of us aren't farmers these days, but there was a time when every man was a farmer, when every family was responsible for their own food. It's quite a society. It's really amazing that our society has advanced so much that so few people are involved in growing food, and so many people are involved in who knows what kind of stuff. People have made careers out of, you know, following caterpillars down the end of sticks and studying their behaviors. People make careers out of all sorts of things. People make careers out of advising people how to make careers to do things. People make careers in all kinds of interesting ways. And I don't fault them, as long as they're noble. I don't fault any of it. It's a symbol of how far we've come that we can be a flexible enough society to have thousands upon thousands of scientists studying this universe, that we can have all sorts of people into the fields of arts and writing. People can be professional poets and make a future out of it. It's really fascinating that our society has gone so far, but it all goes back to the same basic, that all of us are dependent on how well that plant does growing in the ground. Because we're either going to eat of that plant, or we're going to eat something that does eat the plant. So all of us, and men specifically, it's on us to be the breadwinner, to be the one who toils. And we take it as a point of honor. The Bible teaches us that work is a point of honor. We take it as something we ought to do, and we feel an emptiness in us if we're not working. We ought to be working. We ought to be earning our way. We ought to be moving forward in positive things. So out of the curse, out of God's discipline for us, comes a point of honor? Yes. You see, when you join God in His actions, when your faith and trust and walk in God is to say, "Yes, sir, teach me," you'll be blessed, even in this situation. Let's look at the woman, which is what today is about. I will put enmity between, verse 16. To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband." We've identified that this life is painful, that difficulty and suffering are kind of woven into the life. Sickness is a constant fear. When you fall, it hurts. When you are working with something and it clobbers your shin, you limp for a while. Pain is just part of our day. There's pain of the heart, there's pain of the body, there's pain of the mind. Pain is just something we're accustomed to, although we try to get very elaborate ways to avoid it. God has specifically built it into a woman's life. You don't have to get very far before you'll remember your mom or somebody's mom telling you how much they had to suffer to have you, right? God gave the woman the suffering in childbirth, and every child since then has learned about it. Oh, if you knew, she'll tell you, how difficult it was to give birth to you. The prototypical mother, oh, how I've suffered, is speaking truth, not just physical truth. To be a mother is a call to suffering. Not just the beginning of life. The word here is greatly, greatly your pain in childbirth will be. It's a repeated word that we get greatly multiplied. But it's nearly the same word. It's a doubled up Hebrew word. Great, great will be your pain in childbirth. And in case you didn't catch it the first time, he says it again. In pain, you shall bring forth children. But a mother suffers more than that. A mother suffers when her children stumble. A mother suffers when her children get sick. A mother suffers when her children are foolish. A mother suffers when her children suffer. A mother suffers when her children leave. A mother suffers when her children leave the Lord. A mother suffers when her children pass away. It's a particular life of a mother. It's a particular call of a mother. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Now, I know that's poetry. I know that's a truism, but it's true. Mothers take it upon themselves more passionately than us guys do. I remember my own mother watching one of us three. We were on a school field trip, and the field trip was such that we could go into a restaurant and eat. It wasn't me. But one of us was sitting across the restaurant eating with his friends. My mother was a chaperone on this trip, and I remember her reaction. Afterwards, she said, oh, I had to watch my, oh, he was just sitting there and he was eating so sloppily. Oh, it was so embarrassing. Just a while, and he couldn't, oh my goodness, I practically had to leave the restaurant. Mothers suffer in particular ways. If we don't sit up straight, the mother across the room is going, sit up, sit up. You forget your lines on stage in a stage production, your mother is mouthing them to get you to remember them. Mothers particularly reflect and follow the lives of their children. One woman writes of the transition in her life from being a woman to being a mother. I'll spare you the details. This is her words. I'll spare you the details, but I will say that this was a kind of pain I experienced as I labored to birth my son. I felt remarkable changes in my body, and I knew that it was necessary and good. In retrospect, I recognize that God was with me the whole time, just as God always is. I thought I had known love before. I thought I had loved my parents, my family, my husband, my God. But in that quiet darkness, interrupted only by my baby's cries and the hum of measurements from the nurses, my heart felt like it was breaking to grow enough to capture the love that I now had. It's a love so big that it scares me. It's the kind of love I'm pretty sure that would lead me to fight a lion with my bare hands or step in front of a car or a bullet at any minute or any number of crazy things. I can't help but wonder if this full, if I'm full of this courageous love for my son, how much more does God love us? Like a mother, God gave birth to creation and knew it was good. And when we turned away, our love failed. God was willing to experience unspeakable pain in order to bring us all into new life. What we see in Genesis 3 is God's discipline. And when we learn what we learn from Hebrews 12, we knew anyway, but Hebrews 12 spells it out so beautifully, that God disciplines those he loves. And so this discipline, the pain of this discipline, the anguish of this curse, the trouble brought into our lives, if we look at it properly, will get us to understand, appreciate, and draw closer to God. And in this, you notice the two things going on in verse 16 of Genesis 3. The two people are brought into a woman's life. One is her child. Her child, your child is going to bring you pain. Your child brings you pain. Mary is told specifically that her child would bring her pain. But more than just the pain of birth, Simeon told Mary, Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and the sign to the oppressed, to be oppressed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that many thoughts, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Such it is as it is for women, for mothers, that there's the extra pain of what your child goes through. Mary specifically was told that she would be pierced with suffering. So the one pain in the discipline of God in Genesis 3 is from the child. The other discipline to women in Genesis 3 is from the husband, in regard to the husband at least. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Women love becoming mothers. Many, most, I can't say all, I'm not a woman, but most women powerfully desire to be a mom, honor motherhood, enjoy the aspect of motherhood. But women also want to be something else. They also want to be a wife. And so both parts of what God has disciplined women for fulfill deep, powerful desires in women's lives. What an awesome situation that in this anguish, in this struggle, in this difficulty, women are drawn to both parts of what God says is going to be tough for you. God says this is going to be hard. It wasn't intended to be hard. If we had stayed in our walk with him, these things wouldn't have come upon us. But they have. And rather than being absolute aspects of pain and curse and regret, they become points of, what did Jesus call it? Joy. You have the pain of childbirth, and then you forget about it because of the joy we read, John 16. Out of joy, the pain gets forgotten. God had a specific power plan here. He had a specific thing for us to learn here. These punishments, these disciplines from God are for our growth, are for our good. These create relationships that are powerful motivators for us on both sides. Women will jump in front of cars and have jumped and given their lives for the lives of their children. But it works the other way too, which is why this day is powerful in all aspects. Anybody recognize the name Yahya Abdi? Probably not. Yahya Abdi was quite famous in the news about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yahya Abdi's a 15-year-old, was living in Southern California. He snuck down to LAX, I think it was, climbed up in the wheel well of a plane flying to Hawaii at 747, whatever it was, and then proceeded to fly. I don't know how you survive at 38,000 feet at those temperatures with so little oxygen, but he climbed out of that wheel well in the Hawaii airport, and he was arrested. And everybody went, what's wrong with our airport security? This is ridiculous. How can a guy just climb onto the plane? And other people were saying, how did the guy survive anyway? And who is this troublemaker? You know what he was doing? He was told that his mother was dead. All his life, he thought his mother was dead. And then he learned that she was alive and living in Ethiopia. And he was trying to get home to his mother. Now, when you hear that, you go, oh, poor guy. You've gone from terrorist to, you know, who's keeping this young man away from his mother? What's this? This is awful. It's a powerful draw that God has given to us. It's a powerful lesson that we have. Now, these magnificent ladies that God has put into our lives. Children, you know the two things you're supposed to do. One rises sort of to the top. Obey your mother. And Ephesians 6 adds, honor your mother, quoting the Old Testament. Obey and honor. Make her card, give her a kiss, make sure she gets a flower before she leaves today. But the other 360 plus days of the year, you honor her. You listen to her. You thank God for her. You obey her. Gentlemen, our responsibility to these magnificent women that God has given to us is to love them. Ephesians 5 teaches us that clearly and loudly and repeatedly. What kind of sacrificial love that Christ gave the church is our pattern for love for these ladies. But more than that, we should have the wisdom and the appreciation of what God has done for us in giving us these magnificent gifts, these beautiful women to share our lives with. These women who we get to be part of their curse, their discipline. We are part of that. Let's our part of that to them be a joy for them. That we can respect and appreciate what God has given to us. A woman is a beautiful thing, designed for you, built for you, built to be wife, built to be mother. In every way, heart and body and mind and soul and spirit. Every way, a woman is designed for those and is blessed. And let the blessings come from us. Ran into this poem, and if you have a wife, or young men, if you want a wife or want to get one. This comes, we found it in the book, A Kiss Dating Goodbye. It's a poem written by Lena Leitrip, a young lady, about the value of a woman's love. Do you know you have asked for the costliest thing ever made by the hand above? She's talking to young men who want to marry a young woman. A woman's heart and a woman's life and a woman's wonderful love. Do you know you have asked for this priceless thing as a child might ask for a toy, demanding what others have died to win with the reckless dash of a boy? You have written my lesson of duty out, manlike, you have questioned me. Now stand at the bar of a woman's soul until I question thee. You require your mutton shall always be hot, your socks and shirt be whole. I require your heart be true as God's stars, as pure as his heaven, your soul. You require a cook for your mutton and beef. I require a far greater thing, a seamstress you're wanting for socks and shirt. I look for a man and a king. A king for the beautiful realm called home, and a man that his maker God shall look upon as he did the first and say, it is very good. I am fair and young, but the rose may fade from this soft young cheek one day. Will you love me then, mid the falling leaves, as you did among the blossoms of May? Is your heart an ocean so strong and true I may launch all on its tide? A loving woman finds heaven and hell. A loving woman finds heaven and hell on the day she is made a bride. I require all things that are grand and true, all things that a man should be. If you give this all, I would stake my life to be all you demand of me. If you cannot be this, a laundress and cook you can hire with little to pay. But a woman's heart and a woman's life are not to be won that way. It's a beautiful thing to be brought into this life by our Heavenly Father. He desired men to be men who love and lead, and women to be women who care and connect. What a great gift we have. What a great joy it is to set aside a day to say thank you to the moms around us. But I want us to treasure all the ladies around us, young and old, moms or not, and appreciate the gift of God that they are. This morning, if there's any here who wish to be baptized into Christ, or if you have any need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know about it while we stand and sing the song that Bones has chosen for us. Please come.